Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome along to another Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott, and I'm here with you for the next hour, along with my guests. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hello, Robin.
Hey, Stephen. Really good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. Also, Tim Schwartz is with us again from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello to you, Tim. Timbo.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
I don't know why I called you Timbo, but I've just decided.
No, either.
No.
Yeah, my grandfather used to call me Timbo.
But, yeah. Well, there you go. See, nice memories. It's nice, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And emails Andy Pandy, however he likes to be called this week. He chooses. We just go along with it. Hi, Andy.
Hello, Stevie Weavy, and hello, everybody else. Hello.
He's a wonder.
Actually, do you know what? With my white cane, I am a bit Stevie Weavy, especially with a nystagmus and a drink. Wow, what a combination that is. Yes, hello. We've got lots to talk about. We've got Google to talk about this week because they've announced some products. Oh, dear. Well, that's a good start. Also, Bose have announced some new products. Okay. I'm liking this approach.
Be a quick show.
Yes. And that's it. Thanks, guys. But we're also going to be getting into some other news as well and getting to your feedback and your emails. A lot of you have been getting in touch about Audible and issues you've been having getting Audible books onto things like the Victor Reader Stream. There is an answer which kind of popped up out of nowhere, courtesy of Humanware themselves. They put it out on their podcast. We'll play a snip of that a bit later so you know how to now get your books from Audible onto the Victor Reader Stream. It involves a new app, new learning. Boo! That means homework, and I'm against that. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, we'll talk about that a bit later. Let's get into Google, though. It is big news. Is this the one for news?
News from the internet.
You know, these buttons never change, and yet every week I always wonder. I don't know who I'm asking. I'm the only one in the room. But yeah, that is the button that does it. So yes, news of the week. It is, in fact, Google announcing a couple of new products. Right, Robin, we'll start with you. What was your big highlight from the Google event?
Nest Audio, I suppose. I don't know if it's a big highlight because it's basically the only one that I've got any interest in because I don't do TV, for example. So, yeah, I mean, this is the Nest Audio smart speaker, which they used to be called the Google Home. And is this the equivalent of the Echo Big?
No,
or bigger,
no.
Or biggest?
Echo Medium.
Okay.
This would be like, you know that nowadays it's balls, isn't it? It's Echo, well, sorry, Echo Balls, that's what you should call them. Echo Small Ball, Echo Tennis Ball, Echo Football.
Baseball, okay, so yeah.
I don't know
where a baseball comes in.
Is the baseball not the kind of, why am I talking about sport? What do I know about sport? I mean, I'm not the
Google
guy to
Google did
do
a spherical audio thing, didn't they? A while ago, the Google Q or something. It was hugely expensive and it was just a preamp. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I don't know that one.
Yeah, it didn't last very long.
It was the Google Max, wasn't it? There was a big one that they brought. There was like a toaster with a speaker in it.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on Stephen trying to talk about sports. I just can't. I just can't.
It got as far as baseball and then that was it.
I didn't even know what baseball is, or what a baseball even looks like. I imagine it's like a tennis ball, I'm guessing.
A little bit bigger than a tennis ball.
Okay. Bigger and harder, and I don't want to talk about baseball. I'm not very happy right now.
Is that a thing? Is it? I don't know.
My team didn't go very far.
Is that what passes for sport in your country?
How dare you?
Oh, shocking.
It is the sport.
Do you know, I love how I can offend sports people and I don't even know what I'm offending them for. I don't even know if that's offensive. And maybe I've said something really, really smart. I have no idea. Anyway, okay, so you've got Echo. What were we talking about?
Either,
how did we get to this?
Balls.
So,
yes, I know, yeah. But why? How did we get to
Google
that?
Nest
and
Audio.
Amazon balls.
Nest Audio is, it's their smart speaker.
It's not a ball.
It's not a ball. I think it's a bit like the kind of mini maxi form factor. Is it just a cylinder? I don't know. Like the old Google Home Mini or Max.
Mini maxi. That really. I love the description we give here.
Yeah, very technical description.
Did we do audio description? I tell you that there's no chance these guys are going to lose their jobs anytime soon.
Andy, we can never pick on you for describing things to us again.
No, I know. After
some of this.
It's such a weird, difficult shape. I mean, you could say it's kind of like an Elong, like a fatter glasses case. It's kind of square, but it's got the edges rounded off. And
it's like a big pill, isn't it?
It's like, kind of like an upright pillow as well.
Ooh,
and they come in sage, sand, sky, chalk, and charcoal. Which is green, pink, blue, white, and black for everybody else.
Right, okay, that's more helpful, actually. Yeah. I hate when they do that sand and all that. I don't know, I'm colourblind anyway, so it means nothing to me.
It's supposed to have more bass, which actually I don't go for in
speed. No, you don't care. And you don't even like sound.
It's supposed to have a clearer sound, which maybe is kind of the opposite to more bass, but anyway, and more volume. Mm. So I think it's just kind of a updated smart speaker. There you go, that's all I got. That was the low light for me, and the rest didn't even register, I'm afraid.
Well, okay, let's get to Tim then. What were you excited about?
That word, you keep using that word. Excited? Not much, but mildly interested. Possibly the introduction of Google TV. I mean, they do have the all new Chromecast, but they were talking about how you could use this new Google TV service with it or with Android TVs. And I'm only mildly interested from the standpoint that it gives Apple TV possibly some other direct competition. And competition is always good for products like this. So that makes me happy. But I'm not going to go buy one because, of course, as everyone knows, I'm fully entrenched in Apple's ecosystem and like my Apple TV. But I'm glad to see them come along with a Google TV service where you can access all these different subscribed to television channels and get recommendations and all that kind of stuff. It does tie in with YouTube TV, which I do quite like. YouTube TV is very accessible, offers audio described, the secondary audio channel in most places where it's available. And so I do like that integration with YouTube TV, but I don't know. I mean, none of the rest of the hardware really excited me. I mean, like Robin talked about, the Nest Audio is just an upgrade, as we saw with some of the Amazon products with the Echoes. Some of those were just upgrades, which is fine. It's good. You need upgrades, but that doesn't really excite me. I guess it's interesting that they're getting more entrenched in television services, which makes sense considering YouTube and YouTube TV.
I think you're going to benefit a lot more from Google TV than we will over here in the UK.
Of course, you guys always get kind of messed up with this stuff, don't you?
Yeah, because we don't get YouTube TV. At least I think I'm right in saying that. I don't think we get YouTube TV here.
No, we don't.
You do not. There are ways that you and I, well, we just won't go there, but there are ways.
Well, I mean, you might think that. I couldn't possibly agree or disagree.
I don't know what I'm talking about either, but officially, no, there is no access to YouTube TV in the UK, which is a shame because, like I said, it is accessible and it does offer audio description where available. So I wish it would come to you guys because it is a very nice program. But
the price, though, Tim, the price, $64.99 a month. It's extortionate.
Compared to my satellite service that I pay like $160 a month for,
with
the YouTube TV. It seems like a lot, but when you break down different packages and add-ons and things for a regular, satellite or cable service, it's better.
Well, I'm paying just over £100 a month for television alone, and I don't even take the sports channels, which you would think would push it up over that. Actually, that's without sports. So, that's a lot of money. I'm paying for the movies. I'm paying for things I don't even know what I'm paying for, to be honest. But
you could rent a movie almost every night of the month for that.
I know. Well, I mean, it's the movie package really that pushes a lot of that up. I've got multi-room and things, so that's where the money goes. But it's still a lot of cash. I mean, three figures a month. And people complain about the TV license in this country. I mean, I'm paying just about that a month. But yeah,
if it wasn't if it wasn't for some of the other very specific channels that my wife and my daughter like to watch, you know, sharing as a family, I honestly would probably be okay without cable or satellite service, without YouTube TV, because of all the streaming services I have between Prime and Netflix and Disney Plus and CBS and everything else that I've got, you know, the new Peacock, all those at, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8 a month, all adding up. I actually have more than enough content to last me forever, and I could never deal with cable again, but there are certain things you just can't get anywhere else, unfortunately. And for $65 a month, that's where I have to go, you know, to get that. But either way, you know, like I said, Google offering this in addition to everything else that they're doing, it does make sense.
So Google TV will be accessible. We know that we'll have TalkBack in it. What that means in terms of experience, we'll find out. I hope it's going to be good. I mean, you know, Amazon Fire TV Stick is okay. I know I usually get pelted with Rotten Tomatoes when I criticize Amazon Fire Stick because, you know, it is a very low price, you know, easy access piece of kit. It's low cost. It's, you know, it's accessible. It provides a lot. But, you know, there are a lot of issues with third-party apps. So, you know, some of it's accessible, some of it isn't. More of it, I guess, these days than there has been. So that's good. And that's going to be the direct competitor here. Although price-wise, what are we looking at here, Andy? Is it 59? Am I right in saying that? £59 for this?
I think so, yeah. I need to double-check that. I was just looking at the costs for other things in that list as well, of things they've launched. But yeah, around that mark, I would say.
So, you know, it's a little bit more expensive than your Fire Stick. It's not as expensive as Apple TV. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into the whole debate over where I think Apple TV will be around in a year's time or a couple of years' time, because, you know, they're putting, I don't know if you heard this, but they're putting Apple TV apps into pretty much everything now. Even the new Xbox apparently has it built in. And if that's the case, then, you know, you can see they're going to move to put these Apple TV service onto Sony and LG and, you know, Samsung, and all the other TV manufacturers will get it. You know, what's the point of the Apple TV? The thing for us is, of course, that it's such an accessible TV box. We're going to lose that. So, you know, we just hope the other providers can make it as accessible. So, yeah, Google TV coming to the UK soon. I think it's due out in a couple of weeks' time. But what we'll get from it, I don't know. It's going to be more YouTube itself that I think people will be able to use. And, of course, and you know, if you join up with a Nest Audio, you're able to see things like, you know, play Stranger Things on Netflix, and it'll just immediately start playing on your TV, which is pretty cool, I guess. Not for Robin, because he could not care less about television. But for the rest of us...
cold.
What?
TV just leaves me cold, sorry.
Okay, fine. We don't have to watch it then. No one's forcing you. Right, okay, Andy, what about you? What did you get excited about?
No, nothing. I'm going to join in the complete despondency among the group and just say this was a really deflating balloon of an event. Nothing exciting at all. And considering everyone in the group, I'm probably the most likely to stick up for Google and Android.
But this can just hear, though, our listeners saying, but, you know, in a couple of weeks' time or whenever it is, there's going to be an Apple event and we're going to be all excited about what are, in effect, probably just going to be the same sort of, you know, minor upgrades to last year's phones, for example, as we were talking about not being exciting with the Nest Audio earlier, or this one, you know, the Google TV, so Chrome TV. So, you know, I'm aware that we're kind of guilty of giving them different levels of kind of engagement, but
we shall see, though, because I mean, yes, Google did offer some new hardware here, and we haven't even talked about the phones yet, although it is just kind of a mild upgrade there as well that we can get into. But when Apple announces their new product line in a couple of weeks, if it's just phones, maybe a new speaker or something, it depends on the innovation, depends on what they've done with it. You know, there are some things to maybe get excited about, but I don't want to guarantee that I'll be all excited about Apple's event, quite honestly, either. So
that's what
I was looking for. If it's just minor upgrades.
Yeah, that's what I was looking forward to, was the phone side of things. I thought maybe we would see a new Pixelbook. No.
So yeah, I was thinking,
maybe something good would come out of the Google Pixel 5. No. It's in the mid-range markets, and they're using, it's according to the BBC article, designed for economic downturn, which means they're using cheaper bits, so the phone ends up being cheaper as well. Yeah. So yeah, it's another mid-range phone on the market. but it's nothing exciting, and it's nothing. There's nothing in the phone that's offered that my current Android phone, which is a year and a half old now, does already. So, again, I'm just not excited about it.
Well, yeah, it's a nice upgrade. It's a bit of a boost if you're, say, 2-3 years or more behind, just like we say for Apple phones. If you're at least, I always tell people, at least 2 or 3 years back in a phone model, you're probably still okay for another year or so, maybe, but it depends on your personal use case with all the different variety of phones out there. You know, if you're 3+ years behind on a model, you might want to consider it. But if you're just a year back, like you were saying, Andy,
yeah,
there's probably nothing to see here.
Well, I do see a lot of people online, or a lot of the reviewers are saying, you know, they're not particularly excited about these new Pixel phones that have been announced.
No.
Bear in mind that the only thing they are actually focusing on here, and the only thing they were really selling you, is 5G, because that was what the upgrades were. The upgrade wasn't really anything else. In fact, a lot of people are saying if you've bought a Google Pixel 4a in the last year, then you've got a perfectly good phone. Unless you want 5G, there's no need to upgrade. There's no benefit in upgrading. And in some cases, I think I could be wrong, but I think the processor that's in the new 4A 5G, keep up here, this is the 5G version of the 4A. That's not confusing at all, is it? That is a bit of a weaker processor than is in the 4A itself.
I'm definitely waiting for the 5A 4G then.
Yeah, well, that's what you need next, isn't it? Because we've got the Pixel 5. No, you're right, we need the Pixel 5A 4G. I mean, that's it. 4G is going to start disappearing as we move along. Obviously, there'll be
joking
still
joking aside,
options.
Though, how much coverage is there of 5G?
Well, if you live in a major city, perhaps, but beyond that at the moment, I mean, I live in the sticks, and you know, there's no chance we'll get 5G out here anytime soon. I know they're putting masts up.
Barely got 3G at the minute.
Well, that's right. In some parts of Scotland especially, you're lucky to get, I mean, if you get, remember the days of Edge?
I've tried to forget.
It's noticeable when you're on a train from Glasgow, say you're going down to London, and you're going through the lowlands of Scotland where there's nothing.
There's
sheep,
nothing.
Grass and hills.
They don't use phones. Sheep don't use phones, that's a fact.
They have no need for Wi-Fi.
No. I mean, you know, maybe there's an argument that they could, but I don't think anybody's figured out how they would. Anyway, let's not go there.
That's
too much coffee. Somebody had to do that.
Sorry.
The most telling thing from this event is we all got together, as we tend to do with these big reveal events. We all got together and we watched and we listened, and it was an hour long event.
Crammed into a half hour, yeah.
Halfway through it, we were talking about something else. We were talking about Stephen buying a lamp, and we were, I don't know, doing
other
things.
It was a great lamp.
Because we just lost interest. They started bringing on rappers and singers, and they were having interviews, and we were just like, what's going on?
Can I mention my lamp, by the way? Because I love this lamp.
It would probably be more.
Fair, it's your show. More of a reflection of how good the lamp is, rather than how poor the...
I love how Robin always tries to pull a positive out of this. You're really trying. Well, look, I don't know how you say the name of this company, so I'm going to say it in two ways, and we can pick the right one. It's either Benq or BenQ, or it's neither of those two. But anyway, that's what it is. They make monitors, generally. They're known for that, and making really good monitors. And one thing I'll say about the monitors themselves, because I got one of those BenQ monitors. It's a 35-inch ultra-wide display. Brilliant. And it's got this easy, I don't know what they call it, easy eyes or something feature where, you know, the screen kind of has a sensor built in that picks up on the surrounding light and kind of makes the light suit, you know, not just the brightness of the screen, but the tone of the screen as well. Well, they've done similar with this. They've got the Screen Bar Plus e-reading lamp. The idea being that if you're sitting working from paperwork, or you want to use an e-reader with a lamp next to you, this is the kind of lamp you want. This one is, I would say, more for someone who's sitting at a desk, who's maybe going to be using some paper or doing some paperwork, actual papers, or maybe even looking at an iPad, something like that, on a desk, and they maybe don't want too much reflection. They want a decent amount of light that's controllable. Well, that's what this offers. The Screen Bar Plus e-reading lamp is USB powered, so you can plug it straight into your monitor, so that's a plus. The plus part of it, as opposed to the Screen Bar normal or regular, the plus part is that it comes with a controller. that you can control the brightness, you can control the tone of the light, the warmth, the coolness of the light. It doesn't change colour. It just gives you different warmths or coolnesses of or whatever you want in regards to that white light. But it also has a function where, like the monitors, there's an auto button. And if you press the auto button, it will just decide for you, based on the surroundings, how bright or intense that light should be or not, as the case may be. It's a really nice lamp. It was £120. I bought it, and it was like, really? But yes, it is a really good lamp. And I've got to say, you know, for someone like myself who isn't great with light, but I can't sit in complete darkness all the time, you know, even during the day, because I tend to sit with my blinds closed and I tend to just have some very kind of soft LED lighting around my room. I like some kind of light, and this is great because it has that kind of matte, soft LED light that is in no way harsh, no flickering. So there you go. Yeah, anyway.
It speaks volumes that that was the best announcement during the Google launch night event. That
was Stephen's the announcement of a lamp purchase was that our was most the exciting part.
It was more interesting than any of that half an hour that we sat through.
I mean, they were trying.
They did try.
Yeah, they were trying, and they had, like you said, a couple of, you know, people that we weren't sure quite who they were, talking about music and things, and they had demonstrations and, you know, little video packages. But to be very honest, I never thought I'd ever say this about a tech event, but I wish they would have spent a full hour on this and mixed in just actual more detailed descriptions of each of the products, talked more about them, not just talking with people saying, oh, how great is the audio? How great is the sound? How do you use your, you know, YouTube Music account? And I get what they're trying to do in selling the products and doing what they did, but I don't know. There's just, I wanted a little more, which is odd considering we sit through 2 hour Apple events and going, really, they could have cut this down in half. Google should have met Apple in the middle there and done maybe a little bit more to tell us more details, I guess. I don't know. It was just, it was over and done, and it was very quick. And I don't know that I felt like we really learned a lot in a half an hour.
No, I agree. I think the Nest Audio is the one I'm most excited about out of all of them. I kind of like these little speakers. I want to get into the Google ecosystem, and I think that's why we got really excited about Amazon's event, because we have Amazon Echoes everywhere. I think between us, we've got about 5,000 of them. And, you know, I use mine all the time, and I've got different variants of it. Echo Big, Echo Bigger, Echo Small, and then soon Echo Balls. You know, tennis and football. Yeah. So, you know, I've got all these wonderful things, and that's why I'm excited by those designs, because I'm thinking, ooh, that's something I can add into my setup. The Google Nest audio product, still hate the fact they call it Nest. It just makes no sense to me. It's a Google product. It should be branded Google. It doesn't make any sense with this Nest brand. It's not, to me, something that many people... I mean, we get it because we follow this stuff. But if you said to your, you know, your family member or someone, you know, fancy a Nest audio speaker, they'd be like, what? What is that? It makes no sense that they don't have Google on there. But anyway, aside that, I would like to get into the ecosystem a little bit, because I think what people don't realize is, and even I haven't realized this until recently, is that they can coexist. You don't have to just have one or the other. I mean, you could have both. And, you know, they might be able to do different things, especially like, for example, working with the Chromecast. That could be quite nice. But then, of course, each ecosystem is trying to pull you to the other. What I would say is, because the cost of operating the devices is kind of fixed, you buy the device and then, you know, you can have skills or you can use actions on the Google device, and those don't cost any money. That's quite good, I think. I quite like that, because it means you could then have both and you're not having to pay for two ecosystems, unlike Android versus iPhone, where it's like, well, I've spent all my money on my apps over here. I'm not going to make the leap to Android just for fun. But anyway, as I say, that's the best that we can pull from it. Sorry. Let's talk about National Braille Week, because, you know me, I'm a bit of a Braille fan these days. And I know a lot of you out there are, but I wanted to get into this and talk a little bit about National Braille Week, because we're talking about it here on the radio station all week, and we're doing lots of different features. I mean, the big story, of course, being around Lego. How cool is Lego making Braille editions? So you can learn, your blind kid can learn Braille with Lego. My grievance here is that Lego aren't selling these. And I think that they aren't selling them yet. I actually believe they will, because I think they're going to hear people like me talk about this and other people. I see lots of people on social media talking about it. You know, why can't we as blind people buy these? You know, the big kids. Because I'd have this. I think it's a brilliant thing. Just I'd buy it just for the souvenir value, to be honest, because it's just so cool. I loved Lego as a kid. Were you all Lego players?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loved Lego.
You don't really know how much of a Lego fan you are until you've stood on that little brick. You know, and you know, you're trying to kind of clean up the mess, and you stood on one of them, and it basically pushed itself right into your foot, and you may still have that mark to this day. That's when you know you're a proper Lego fan. Yeah, exactly. You still play with it and still love it. But no, I want to talk about the Orbit Writer, because this was announced a year and a bit ago, maybe a bit less.
Yeah, give or take. I think earlier in the, or maybe January or so. Yeah, seems right.
It's never made its way here yet, but I am told. I've been doing my digging around on this, and I've been told that the R&IB shop will sell it. Don't know when. It is under the banner of coming soon. Now, we've been here before, so let's see. You can buy it from the States, although I'm told that the AT guys who sell it from the States are not shipping it abroad. I think that might be because other territories obviously have their own resellers, and that's why. I'm not suggesting for a second, if you've got a friend who lives in America who might, like, you know, somebody might, like, maybe called Tim, who maybe lives in America, who has access to a bank card and the ability to spend money and buy things online, and then maybe some kind of postal service, although let's not talk about that. I think your post guys are busy enough.
Let's say over here right now, I'd wait a couple of months. Yeah,
for Tim like is that. Your VPN for American products.
He's my tech VPN.
In more ways than you know sometimes. But well, anyway, moving on.
Absolutely, actually, now I think about it, yeah. But no, the Orbit Writer is coming here, so you don't have to go and get it via surreptitious means. But it is pretty cool. Now, if you don't know what it is, it's a keyboard, Perkins-style keyboard, for your iPhone. I guess for your computer as well, but a lot of people are going to use this with their iPhone or their tablet computer. And really, it just gives you Braille key entry. That's the key point, right? It doesn't have a display. That's the first thing. A lot of people were kind of, that's interesting, it doesn't have a display. But it's built, I guess, for people who want to do Braille entry into their phone, not via a touch screen, you know, with the Braille screen input on iPhone and what was it called on Android? Braille screen Ellen? Input? No. I don't know.
No, Brailleback.
Brailleback, yeah. It's the same thing, really, isn't it? But, you know, if you don't want to use a screen, then you can maybe you prefer having that physical keyboard. Like most of us are using QWERTY keyboards with our phones. I mean, I use my, was it Logitech K380? You're the same one, aren't you? Robin, you use that.
Yep.
Do you use a Bluetooth keyboard, Tim?
I do. I use the Keys to Go, actually, which has been around for quite a while, but it's so nice. It's thin. It's got this nice, I don't know what they would even call this, but this layer of some sort of, I want to say cloth, but some sort of synthetic covering. So for me, as you well know, I have this problem about spilling things on keyboards and frying them. I've done this a couple times. Yeah. So I spill things on the Keys to Go and I can just wipe it right off. It's so nice. But yeah, it's very inexpensive, very accessible, and has a lot of very specific keys that you can assign, whether it's an iPhone, Android, or even on PC or Mac, you can assign these keys to do different things. So, or they're automatically assigned, actually. So yeah, I do use my QWERTY with my iPhone or an iPad a lot. If I knew Braille, however, I mean, this, especially at the price point, I'd be all in on this.
Well, on the price point, that's an interesting one. So we know in the States it costs $99. I've been trying to pin R&IB down on a price, whether it will be the same price or, you know, equivalent, or whether it will be the dollars into pounds, which, you know, who knows what that will be by the time it comes out. But, you know, we'll see. But it will be around, we would imagine, the £100 mark. I mean, it's a considered purchase, obviously, but at the same token, it's probably the lowest entry point to Braille keyboard access that you're going to get. And that's what I think a lot of people are very excited about. The Orbit Reader 20, there's an updated version of that now available in the R&IB shop that you can get. And that has lots of new features. It's a bit more expensive, this version, but it does have more features on there, like translation, which is a big one. There's lots of other stuff on there that's new. Check out the RNIB shop website, rnib.org.uk/shop, or call the helpline number. I'll give that later if you want it, and that'll give you access to that. But the Orbit Writer, not out yet, but I just wanted to mention it because it is National Braille Week. You know, this is the time when people are talking about the value of Braille, the importance of Braille. I think that Lego announcing Braille bricks is a great thing. I mean, you know, aside the fact it's not available for us kids, come on, Lego. hopefully that'll change. But the point is that it shows the importance, you know, of a big company like that are realizing that, you know what, kids do need to learn. And it is the difference between learning to or not learning to read and write. I mean, it's as simple as that, Robin. I know you've learned Braille a bit when you were younger and you've kind of fallen away from it, which is no wonder, because with technology, if I had learned Braille at school, I'd have probably fallen away as well, using audio instead, you know.
Yeah. They were cleaning out various cupboards over the lockdown, because we've actually moved the AbilityNet office that is in Warwick, where I live. Many people are choosing to actually stay working from home, so we've downsized offices, and so they were doing lots of clearing out. And yeah, there's a Braille display that, well, there's in fact two. And I said, oh yeah, I'll grab one of those.
Give me the cleanest one.
Give it a go, yeah. it's like, I think Brilliant 44 or something. But anyway,
Brilliant 40, yeah, that's a good one. Like Humanware, yeah.
So I'm going to give it a go, and it'll be the first Braille display that I'll have really tried to get to grips with. And that, who knows, might sort of scrub some of the rust off my Braille and... yeah, we'll see in a couple of weeks or months, maybe.
Once you're up on it, we'll do a head-to-head. I've got the Focus 40 here, so we'll go head-to-head on it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll win, obviously, because you've taken years to get back to it, which is shocking.
Yeah, but I mean, literacy, I think if you need to type and you don't heavily rely on the spell check, then, you know, you'll need to know how words are spelt. So I think, you know, inputting text can get you to the spellings of things as much as reading, but I know that you'd have to go away and find out the spelling of something somehow, whereas, you know, if you're typing, whereas reading will automatically give you the spelling because you're reading it. So I totally agree that Braille is a useful skill to get to the root of literacy and particularly spelling. And I do know a lot of people that grew up without Braille whose spelling is pretty bad.
Well, yeah, mine's is getting there. You know, I struggle with words now because it's almost like I just forget
what they look like.
Yeah, I forget what the word looked like, and it was
literally
actually
out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those things at school that was one of the few things I was actually any good at school was spelling, and I used to be really proud of the fact I was so good at spelling. But now because I cannot remember how the words look, so you know, Braille is so key in that, and. It's interesting because obviously I did the thing a month or so ago about the Mantis Q40 from Humanware, the QWERTY keyboard with the 40-cell Braille display. And, you know, I got a lot of kickback from people saying, yeah, that's all good and well, but actually it's really important that you know how to key in with Braille input, because you can actually type faster. You know, you can type in words like knowledge with a single letter, you know, rather than typing in a full word. You can just very quickly type things in. So, you know, and I get that, and I think that's the value of this. And you know, if you're typing texts or emails or, you know, just very quickly wanting to get information into your phone, I think the Orbit Writer is going to be great. So, yeah, it's coming soon. We'll let you know when it's around, and we promise we will get a review on the air when we get hold of one ourselves. Okay, we've already played this already, but we'll do it.
News from the internet.
Yes, more from the internet. And on an internet near you today, you can find out about Bose, who've announced new frames. Are we excited?
Yes, we are.
I wanted to be. I really wanted to be.
Well, yeah. You've got what? We've all got them, haven't we? Apart from you, Andy.
The Bose AR frames.
Yeah. The Bose AR frames. First correct. Ones. Yeah, the first ones, which are wonderful and fantastic until they took the AR stuff away from me. But they're still really good speakers. They're still nice, sort of.
Yeah.
It still works with Soundscape here. So, which was the only thing I ever used the AR bit for.
Oh, see, I had used it. Stephen and I had talked about this a lot. I've tried to get him to use it with other things, and now it's not available anymore. So that ship has sailed, but there were so many amazing apps that I had used it for, different GPS apps, games, other interactive simulations, interactive movie scenes, things like that. Mm-hmm. It was so cool. It was so great. And they've taken it away. But these new Bose frames, I mean, Steven, you're the self-professed audio guy. I don't know. I mean, if they're a little louder, great. If they've got a little more kick to them, maybe, but they're more expensive as well. What are you thinking, Steven? Because I don't know that I'm going to rush out and replace my current ones with these.
Yeah, I kind of did. So
yes, of course you did.
So I kind of jumped in with both huge feet and jumped
and
in
a huge head, apparently.
Yeah, well, that was the problem, right? So I bought the Tempo version of them, which is, and I was so excited by this because they are wraparound sunglasses. So I thought, oh, this is even better. I'll block out more sunlight.
Sporty.
Yeah. So I thought, and that's the thing. These are very much built for your outdoorsy type. Why I'd want these, I mean, other than the wraparound
and
reason.
You bought them?
I know. Yeah. It is ridiculous. But clearly. Clearly,
you can go out and play with your balls, yeah.
What? Oh, yes, I see what you mean. I'm hoping no one's tuned in halfway through here. Otherwise, you've no idea what I'm talking about.
Amazon balls.
Exactly. That's Echo balls. I got these and I tried them on. And I don't know what it is. Maybe people who are sporty have thin heads. I don't know how it works. Or narrow brains or narrow head. That doesn't sound right.
Careful.
Narrow heads.
apologize to all the athletes out there.
Sorry to everybody about everything. That's probably the easiest way.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, basically these do not fit people with fat heads. That's what I'm trying to say. And I clearly do have a fat head because they don't fit me. Wasn't there a song by Queen? Wasn't there a song by Queen, Fat Bottomed Girls? Remember that one? I'm sure they don't let you play that anymore.
I love that song. No, it's on the radio here all the time.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know about over there, but
That song. Well, fat-headed men, that's me.
Big brain.
Fat-headed men, don't buy the Tempo.
Don't buy the Bose Frames Tempo Edition. They won't fit.
How do they sound, Stephen?
Well, this is the thing, right? So they sound exactly the same. No difference. No difference, really. I mean, I'll be honest, maybe a little bit louder, tiny bit louder, but also hugely louder outside your head as well. So, of course, ramping them right up, you actually think, oh, that's actually sounding okay. But then, you know, three doors down, people are saying, could you turn that down a bit, please? Because they are still very loud. So that's the problem here.
How's the battery life on them?
Well, since I can't wear them for very long, because I feel like my head is being squeezed in a vice... I haven't really done much with them beyond turning them on and trying them out. But I believe the battery is supposed to be a bit better.
Right.
I mean, what's that, 5 hours? I mean, that's about the average.
It never lasts that long for me with the old ones.
The old ones I could get, depending on what I was doing, anywhere from 4 to 6. And that 2-6 is pushing it. If I was doing just voiceover on my phone or something, I could get the 5 or 6 hours. But listening to audio and actually, you know, real usage of it was closer to 4. So if these new ones could get you 6+, that would be fantastic. But we'll have to test it out and see.
But of course, the ones I got were the Tempo. But of course, you don't need to get those ones. You could get the other two. Now, it's Tenor and Soprano. Are the two other styles. These are the two other models that were brought out. One is kind of aimed... I mean, they don't really say they're for male or female, but they have designs
that... That's the implication.
They kind of suit male or female, but arguably you could wear either depending on what your choice is. One is slightly more rounded, one is more square. But truthfully, male or female, they would apply. And the same with the Tempo, because they're fairly unisex, I think, so they don't really... And their style is very much your kind of sporty, outdoorsy... You know, you're wearing a crash helmet for whatever it is you're doing, kind of event.
It says here on
never
the,
worn one in my life.
It says here on the Tech Raider website that they're used for activities like running, cycling, and hiking. So maybe the reason why they are tight on your head is
because I need
they
to do
stay
some
there.
Of that.
Yeah, they stay there on your head.
Yeah, it's saying you should do this to not have such a big head.
Can you
for
really
an active
get
lifestyle,
fat in
that
your
makes
brain?
Sense.
Can you get fat on your head? Is that a thing?
Probably.
Google that, will you?
I don't want to.
I'm not sure I want to know. Yeah.
If they were more robust, I would be interested because I'm afraid that I'm going to knock mine and you know, I've got through two pairs now. This is my third one.
Yeah, you've broken
them. Yeah, luckily they've all been under warranty, so I get a new pair each time. But yeah, you only have to knock your face on a cupboard or something a little bit, and the arm goes out and, you know, is a little bit too far, so they can fall off your face more easily and that sort of thing. And the plastic that they're made out of isn't the kind of plastic that's got any give in it.
Mm,
in fact, it's probably, I would say, fragile, kind of crackable plastic rather than... Because you can get millions of different kinds of plastic, and I would think glasses should be made out of ones that are a bit more springy or have some forgiveness to them. So maybe these outdoorsy ones are going to be like that. So I'd be interested there. But
and it's not like it's not possible, because you think about the Aftershocks headphones. Those are very movable. I mean, and again, they're built for outdoors a lot of the time. They're kind of sold to... not athletes, but people who like to go running and they want to be able to hear the environment around them at the same time. They're very movable. Again, the fat head problem kicks in here. I think I'm sensing a theme. Can they develop these things for people who are lazy, who just don't like getting up off the couch, Netflix fans? That's what they need to do. Then I'll buy one.
Bose frame couch potato series.
With the potato speakers in.
Yeah, exactly.
Comes with a drink holder.
I was going to say, remember the big gulp ones? You get the two big cups that would sit on either side of the ear, Homer Simpson style.
On the helmet, and you just, a little straw comes down to your mouth.
Oh, I loved those. Although in saying that, I didn't like having to wear it on my head. Because it meant I had a heavy head. I didn't like that. Anyway, I don't know what I'm going on to do. Let's talk about something else, shall we? Because, you know, Bose have brought these out. By the way, just as a point of interest, more expensive than the rest, £239 for each of the pairs, no difference, of Bose frames. Whether you buy the Tenor, the Soprano, or the Tempo, they're all coming in at £239. And it's only, because we did hear rumours of all of them, all of the new versions having USB-C charging, but it's only the Tempo that actually has USB-C charging. The other two still use that magnetic 4-pin connector, which is a bit weird. I've already lost mine. Two of them, they're both gone. Robin's very kindly sending me one out of his collection.
So I get a new one each time. Yeah, replaced.
Yeah, I'll upgrade mine in 2 years when I can get the previous years a little cheaper and they're all USB-C. Maybe that's what I'll wait for.
But guys, there are so many different companies going into this sunglasses, you know, Bluetooth speaker thing.
But it's Bose.
You know, I'm interested to kind of play the field and see what else is out there. Hopefully for, say, half the price. I don't think this is rocket science, is it? This isn't kind of space age technology here. So, yeah, we'll see.
Okay, well, let's talk about Audible. We've had lots of people getting in touch. In the past couple of weeks, we talked about this, where one of our listeners, I think a couple of you actually had issues with Audible. Not Audible itself, but Audible and getting the books from Audible onto your Victor Reader stream. Well, thankfully, a solution has come along. It's in the form of a new app, and this has been demoed on the Humanware Victor Reader Stream podcast, which I've tried to find the link for, and I can't. But if you have a Victor Reader stream, you'll find it on there. So if you have a Victor Reader, if you go to that podcast area, then you'll be able to find this podcast, the Victor Reader Stream podcast. Rachel Feinberg is from Humanware in the States and has been telling us all about how to use the new Audible Sync app to get your books onto the Victor Reader stream. Let's play in some of that audio now.
Recently at Humanware, we have received some inquiries as to how you are able to download Audible books as the Audible Manager is being phased out. Not to worry, there is an eloquent solution called the Audible Sync application. This is a Windows executable file that you can download from the Audible website, and it allows you to transfer your Audible titles to your Victor stream. In this podcast, I will be demonstrating how to sign into the application, activate your stream as an Audible device, search for, download, and transfer Audible content to the stream. To obtain the Audible Sync application, you want to head on over to the Audible website. That's www.audible.com. Once you're there, click on the Help link, and then activate the Edit box to search for Audible Sync, which is two words. The first article that comes up is entitled, "What is the Audible Sync app?" Click on that link and you'll be given directions as to how to download and install the application. At the time of this recording, which is in early August 2020, you can achieve the best user experience with the Audible Sync application by using the free screen reader NVDA. At this time, NVDA reads the Audible Sync application most comprehensively, but please know that this experience may change due to third-party application or screen reader updates. I have the Audible Sync application open on my desktop, and I need to go to Sign In. There are two ways to sign in. You can choose your Amazon account, or you can sign in with a username and password. I'm going to choose the option that just says Sign In to use my Amazon account.
Welcome back. Sign in here to listen to your audio titles from Audible. Listen, explore the catalog, and add titles to your library. Out of region sign in. Amazon sign in document. Graphic Audible, an Amazon company. Email left paren, phone for mobile accounts right paren, edit.
So now that I'm signed in to the Audible Sync application, I have three menu options. The first one is for the Audible library. The second one is to activate a device. And the third one is settings. We want to activate a device, so I'm going to choose the second menu option.
Audible row, link menu item, press the enter key to select go to device page. USB drive left paren, F colon right paren.
Because the stream is plugged into my computer and powered on, it's showing up as a removable drive. So this is a section that lists the drives or devices that I can activate.
Activate device.
This is the device that I want to activate, so all I'm going to do is press enter.
Audible sync row 1 column 1. Document. Blank. Amazon sign-in document. Graphic Audible, an Amazon company.
So I signed in initially to the Audible Sync application, and now I need to sign in again to activate this device on my Audible account. My device is now activated, and I am back on the Audible Sync main page. So here's the fun part. We are now going to go to the Audible library and search for a book to download. So I'm going to choose the first menu option.
Link menu item, press the enter key to select go to library page.
This page does have some shortcuts, one in which is an edit box, so I can press E to jump to an edit box to search my library.
Enter a title, author, speaker, or publisher to search for a title. Press the tab key to highlight the next search result.
So I'm going to search for a ham radio study guide, and I'm just going to put in a few words of the title.
The title of this audiobook is No Nonsense Technician Class License Study Guide. The authors of this title are Dan Romanchik, KB6 New. The narrator of this title are Daniel M.
So it gives me a lot of information. It brought me immediately to the title of the book and the narrator. So this is the book that I want to download. I'm going to press the down arrow key until I get to that option.
By colon, Dan, narrated by colon, thousands of amateur radio. Press the enter key to select download No Nonsense Technician Class License Study Guide. 0% downloaded. Alert, download complete.
The download is now complete, so the next step is to copy the book to the device. All I need to do is press the down arrow, as you'll see the option changes.
Copy to device.
And I'm going to just press enter to activate this option. So after I press enter on copy, I can down arrow one more time to choose the drive that I want to copy this book to.
Left paren, F colon right paren. Press the enter key to select copy No Nonsense Technician Class. Alert, transfer complete.
The final step in this journey is to power on the Victor stream and head on over to the Audible bookshelf to see our Audible book.
Welcome to Victor Reader. Bookshelf. Audible Books. 1. Book. 1.
No Nonsense Technician Class License Study Guide for tests given between July 2018 and June 2022.
We can celebrate success. There you have it. The Audible book has been downloaded and transferred from the Audible Sync application to the Victor Reader stream. I hope this podcast was helpful for you. Please know that this was made for demonstration and informational purposes only, and that your experience may change if you encounter application or screen reader updates.
So there you go. That's Rachel Feinberg there from HumanWare talking about the Audible Sync app. I'm really glad she did that podcast, because a lot of people were wondering about how to do this since they had made some changes to the way that Audible books were being made available. So that's good. That's really good.
Apologies about the synthesizer speed there.
Well, I was just about to say, don't complain to us. It's nothing to do with us. We didn't make that podcast, so please don't write in and complain. You can write to HumanWare and complain to them. But that, if you want to listen to it again, is available on the Victor Reader stream itself. Just look for the Victor Reader stream podcast, which you'll find under the podcast area in the stream. Brilliant. Okay, let's get to these. I think it's time.
News.
No, not that. These.
Ah.
Oh, I always get these buttons mixed up.
We
only two of them.
We get your email every day.
It's a tech show, guys.
Here's your mail today.
Which button is it? Andy.
What right, I've got some emails. News from the internet for you all. You've lost the wine one, as I'm guessing.
I don't know where that's gone. I've lost my wine, believe it or not.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I missed the wine one.
I know.
Oh.
What else was there? Was there a fourth?
There was a klaxon for a while. You see, the problem is I left all those in the office because I don't have everything here. I don't have them here. I'm at home.
Anyway, emails.
Yeah.
Let's start off with one from Adrian. He says, "Hi, I was listening to the podcast with the info on the Google Lookout app for Android, and I was wondering if this app would run on a suitable Android tablet. I don't own a smartphone or a tablet, but when I heard about how the Google Lookout app can identify food packaging and scan documents, etc., I became interested in how the app worked. I was currently investigating methods of identifying food packaging without the need of putting labels on packets so that I could find and identify a packet of food without needing sighted help. I was using barcode ID equipment such as the Galaxy ID Mate. This is very expensive, so I am looking for a more affordable method to use. If I purchased a suitable tablet and installed the Google Lookout app, do you think that this would work for me? What sort of spec would a suitable tablet need to use in order to get the best out of Google Lookout app? Can you advise, please? Many thanks." That's from Adrian.
Ah, okay, Adrian. Well, I can tell you that the Lookout app is available on any Android device running Android 6 and above, and it has to have 2 gig of RAM or more, ideally, in it. So you're looking for something, I mean... It's hard to define a really good Samsung. I nearly gave away the answer. A really good Samsung tablet. Well, there's where I'm going. Yeah, because I was thinking of Samsung actually. I mean, there are other ones you can get, but I think for accessibility, usability, I'm thinking of the Samsung Lite. You know, the S range, the Lite tablets, not the. You obviously get more expensive ones like the S6, but you get an S6 Lite as well, which I think is like £300, £400.
Something like that.
That's not a bad place to start. You're going to get good specification because, yeah, okay, you can get really cheap tablets, but you know when you add accessibility to them and you know think about the camera as well, the quality of the camera, you might be getting into tricky areas, whereas something like a Samsung, and I'm not sponsored by Samsung, right? I mean, you buy any tablet you like, but I just know because of the work that they've put into it. And also, when it comes to Android, I think Samsung will probably lead the charge in a lot of ways, although I'm sure some other people might argue with that. I think that's probably fairly true. Anybody want to add to that?
Whether you could just get a more affordable either Android phone or iOS phone, because if it's all about affordability, I'm just wondering if it needs to be a tablet.
Might prefer a tablet, though. He seems to want a tablet.
He does.
Yeah.
But he's talking about affordability, but yeah.
If you can get into a tablet, like you said, with the Samsung, you know, that's £300-400 or less, that's going to be best if he is insistent on a tablet. That is a good point, though, to say, you know what, an iPhone SE or maybe even, Pixel 3A, was it that was in that price range, something like that. So if you're looking to get into a smartphone at all, there are smartphone entry levels that you can get into that would be as much or less expensive even than doing that tablet. And it'd be a lot easier to hold while you're trying to hold a package. Say if, for instance, you're not able to set something on a counter or a table, you need to hold a product up and hold another device to it. It would be easier to do that with the form factor of a phone over a tablet. But
and in shops and things.
And especially, if you're going out and going to a shop, going to some sort of store to do that, that would be a lot easier and less cumbersome. But then again, there are other advantages to having a tablet, of course. So to each their own. But yeah, I think that you can do it in that, £300-400 or less, no matter which way you go, whether it's a tablet or a phone.
And if you're worried about the whole kind of smartphone thing, it's too much for me, just imagine that you'll just use it for the one thing
initially,
and then you've got options.
Let's go on to another email because we're very short of time, as we always are on this show. Andy.
A few weeks ago, we had an email in from Michael from Holmfirth asking, where is audio description on ITV1? Well, Michael has emailed us back in again with a follow-up. He says, hi, just to let you all know that I have found the audio description.
Hurrah!
I didn't think of tuning in to the ITV1 HD channel, which I think is on Virgin 1143. I started watching License to Kill on 103 and I got no audio description. So I looked again for the HD channel and audio description was available. So yeah, that's Michael from Holmfirth.
Yeah, weird where they put it, isn't it? Okay, let's get another.
Now, yes, again, a few weeks ago we had an email in from Neil Drummond, the blind musician who was looking for help with his handheld recording technology. And Stephen, you gave a bit of advice.
Uh-oh.
Well, Greg in Pennsylvania has emailed in to say, as a blind musician, I have to say to Neil, ignore all of Stephen's recommendations and buy a replacement LS100 from one of the many web sources in the USA where they are still available and you can have it shipped overseas. None of the suggestions have microphone preamps that approach the quietness of the LS100, while also giving the accessibility and multi-track capability. There is no better recorder for a blind musician than the LS100. The Zoom is fine if you can live without the voice feedback and multi-track, and even accept noisier microphone preamps. Sources in the US include Walmart, Amazon, and a few other smaller electrical stores. Yes, that is from Greg in Pennsylvania. Hope that helps, Neil.
Yeah, funnily enough, this might not be for music. I wouldn't use it for this way, so I wouldn't know. But I got myself a dictaphone because I've missed having a dictaphone in my life. I mean, I'm sitting here surrounded by tech, and you know, I need more, obviously. But you know, just taking a quick note sometimes. Like I was taking some bank details from someone the other day. I was getting some waste taken away. And cardboard boxes mainly, and that doesn't surprise
all your
anybody.
Amazon shipments.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I needed a big bin, so I had to take some bank details down to pay the company, and you know, I just held the phone up on speaker to the phone, and just got you know them to read out their bank details, and you know, I was able to get that information, getting phone numbers down, just really, really useful for those quick bits of information. I bought the DM770. I got it on a deal on that place that starts with A, ends in O, and has Mazo in the middle. I got that, and I really liked it, actually. It's got the voice feedback. Brilliant. Maybe I should do a quick demo on it at some point. But I think it's great. Whether it be good enough for music, I don't know. It might not be up for that. But I take on board your point, Greg. I think that, you know, it is horses for courses. For music, if you're going to plug in microphones, then you're absolutely right. What I was kind of getting was someone wanting to record music, like say a guitar, you would just sit in front of the device and it would, you know, record you. That may not be suitable for everyone. But then I'm not a musician. Who'd have thought?
Talking of boxes and Amazon, I sent my sister for her birthday a gift card, and I chose the option of sending it in a card rather than like an email e-gift voucher for Amazon. And it was called a mini card in a small envelope, and they sent it in a massive box.
Oh, brilliant, eh? Brilliant. More rubbish, more waste. I can recommend a good waste company. Guys, that's it from me. Thank you so much. Thank you to Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, Tim Schwartz Brilliant. From LifeAfterBlindness.com, Emails Andy. We'll catch you all again next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks,
guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.